Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad to have you with us. Always good to have our good friend David Cishon with us with the Householder Group. They are estate and retirement specialists. Their number is 720-482-1917. David, good to have you on again, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. How's everything going over in your side of the woods?
Well, from what I can see to the foothills, I tell you, this smog and smoke, whatever it is, I tell you, it has socked us in here these last few days, but overall, everything's going pretty well. So certainly, I don't know if you saw, but I believe a couple of days ago, we had snow, you know, like on around this, on September 8th or something like that. So, different here with the temperatures we're seeing for sure.
Yeah, so far it's a little bit on the warm side, but, you know, we're heading into the fall area, so it won't hang around much longer, this heat, and hopefully we'll get rid of the smog and the smoke and the nasty stuff floating around in the air pretty soon.
Absolutely. Well, again, David Cishon is with us each week at this time, and, if you've ever got a question for us that you would like for David to cover, shoot me an email, scott@haystackhelp.com, and we will make sure and get that to David. All right, David, boy, I tell you, I love the title of kind of what we're going to talk about here today, Anticipating the Unexpected. Boy, I don't know how we do that with all we've been through this last year and a half, because there's been a lot of things unexpected happen. But let's just talk about, you know, and we're talking about, of course, your investment planning, decision-making with this. So how do we start with all this to have a plan that will help us, you know, anticipate a little bit of what happens in our life?
Well, you know, that's what's part of the whole process. And what brings this home really is, quite honestly, we've had a couple situation with clients the last month that really came out of the blue, and all of a sudden one of the spouses is gone, and in the other situation one of the spouses, who is greatly in great health, is maybe going to last a month.
Wow.
And so these kinds of situations happen along with normal things that happen, like pandemics.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you know, we're out of a job. We're out of income.
Sure.
Government programs now cut off. What happens? And these unexpected things, unfortunately, is part of life, and they do happen. Fortunately, in our situations with our clients, and these two experiences, the surviving spouse came in with her daughter and son, and from a financial situation, there was absolutely nothing to be done. There was absolutely nothing that had to be hurried, nothing that had to change. They sat there and they had tears coming out of their eyes because of the situation, but relief in their face because everything was where it's supposed to be.
Sure.
Everything was under control. The plan just continued in existence. And when the smoke clears and things settle down, we can make adjustments as we go along, but they were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And they had in their minds the situation under control. And their kids, okay, that came in, had been informed by their father, who was gone, this is what's going to transpire. These are the things that are going to happen for your mother. And she knew it. And everything was laid out 1, 2, 3, and 4, and nothing had to be done. Papers didn't have to be signed, nothing at all. But what was good about it is that the kids were informed, and they were also informed if the surviving spouse suddenly disappeared, what their obligations would be, what okay. their inheritance would look like, and what they were expected to do by their parents.
Right.
But they knew that. It was communicated to them. And that's an area that we spend a lot of time with folks, encouraging them to, as an example, explaining to their children the situation that their parents are in mm-hmm. while they're alive. So they have some idea, and yet when I have people come in for a free consultation, I'll ask them, you know, you've got these children here. What do they know about your wealth or your monies? What do they know about your wishes? And very few say that we've discussed anything.
Right.
You know, and so it can be very traumatic.
Sure. And, man, what a difference in a conversation, too. And you know, while it's a difficult situation and circumstances, man, and you said a word there that just they were prepared. And,
yeah.
man, there's no greater feeling than that. And I don't know of any worse feeling when something happens and you're totally unprepared.
Well, that's just it. It causes so much anxiety, and people have a tendency to do knee-jerk reactions at that time because their emotions are filled with the situation, whether it's losing a parent or losing a spouse, and now all of a sudden they don't know really what's going to what happened to their income, why they just don't know about their financial situation. They don't feel comfortable. They're scared to death. They just lost the spouse or parent or whatever. They don't know what their financial situation is about. And so communications is critical amongst family members to relieve the issues that can unfortunately come up on a death situation, or like we had a pandemic, all of a sudden I lose my income. What do I do?
Right.
Do I have enough set aside? All right. Where am I going to get this assets? How am I going to access new income or additional income?
Mm-hmm.
So this whole planning, you know, it leads to the whole planning kind of a situation. But, you know, people should have an emergency file, for example, in place. Let's assume they didn't have, I mean, a good plan, written plan, estate planning document, whether it's a trust or a will, all right? You know, you still need to have some directions for people to do certain things if something happens.
Right.
And that's, I call it emergency file for the family, where the kids or the spouse or whomever is involved knows who they should contact first. Who are the people that we have to contact? Is it the financial advisor? Maybe it is. Or the attorney mm-hmm. that they entrusted their estate plan with? Or their accountant or physicians or other close advisors that they have should be down and listed so there's no hunt and peck, you know, kind
right.
of stuff. You know, I don't know about your parents, Scott, but my parents, my father was so closed mouth about everything that when he passed on, my mother didn't even know what a treasury bill was that was stuck in their little box that they kept stuff
right.
in.
No.
What that meant.
I think many of us were like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever discussed really about finances, you know, or anything.
Right, and unfortunately, you know, these kinds of things exist, and then what happens when someone dies and that person is left out there in left field? And I even see in the younger generations, their unwillingness to educate their kids because they weren't educated from their parents. So maybe it's easier to do it this way where, you know, we don't talk too much about it.
Sure.
bad karma.
For sure. So, Dave, when you sit down with people and, you know, you're going to make this plan, and we've talked about this before, you know, in the whole region of free consultation, just to kind of figure out where people are and you know, what they're trying to accomplish, what their goals are. And do most people, are they able to just tell you, hey, here's my top four goals I want to accomplish out of this? Or are those things that even then you have to help them figure out kind of what their goals are and how to put them down on paper?
Yeah, I mean, so people have an idea, like they'll say, I'll ask them, well, what do you want to do with your money? What do you want to do with your assets that you have? I want to make sure that I have enough money to live comfortably through retirement, and then the last day I die, I have a penny left. I mean, I hear that from a lot of people.
Right.
I say, oh, that's all well and good. You know, that's great. But the chance of that happening with your situation is,
sure,
is relatively slim.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to bring it out of them. What do you really mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll look at, and I have to ask the questions. It's kind of like peeling an onion.
Yes, sir.
Until you get right into the main part of it. And then all of a sudden they start speaking like they really have thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've led them down the path, so here are some choices and things to talk about. But we ask those questions so that someone will come up and say at the end of the day, well, I want to protect the principal of a bunch of my assets so I don't lose them if bad things happen. Or I need right now $4,000 per month to live comfortably, realizing that inflation and taxation is going to creep in, so we got to see that grow each year somehow, realistically, to help counter inflation and taxation. Yes, I do have a will, but you know what? I know you asked me to bring it in, but God, we looked through all the drawers. We don't know where the heck it is.
Right.
Well, so we got to locate it, all right? And what does the will say? Well, it's 22 years old. I can't remember, but I think we got a guardian in there for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're 37 now.
Right, right.
You know, so we have to bring them along, ask questions, so that we can get to those objectives that they want with their money, with their feelings, with their family, so it makes some sense to them, because all of that stuff leads to, all right, what kind of documents do we need to have looked at or drafted or drawn or discussed that fits your circumstances? And then, okay, we have that in place. Thank goodness we have that. All right, how do we need to move your assets or change how the assets are positioned so that it addresses those objectives that you now have defined?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, let's invest the money and hope that it goes up and doesn't go down. That causes a lot of anxiety and frustration. So we have to zero in on those objectives. And sometimes those objectives are changing the investment philosophy or changing the positions that they have their monies in. But that's only one part of it.
Right.
The other part of it is, you know, what do we do about taxation? How are that going to affect our taxes, our cash flow later?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if right now, let's say, Scott, you were retired and you had $5,000 of income between pension and Social Security, so forth, coming in every month, and that was comfortable for you,
mm-hmm.
and your taxes on that $5,000 was roughly, oh, let's just say 10 or 12% effective tax rate. So, you know, you might pay $6,000 in taxes, let's say.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, 2025 comes around, and that 10%, that's $6,000 that you're paying because they need money to pay for all of these programs that we're going to have and infrastructure that we desperately need, that's not $6,000. Now you owe $15,000 a year,
right,
instead of the six. What does that do to your cash flow? How do we be prepared for that? Because that's coming.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. So,
yeah, I mean, we're in such low tax brackets right now, and someone's got to pay back for all of the monies that was stuck into the economy that were greatly needed, no question about it, over this last year and a half. But there's a piper. Someone's got to pay the piper eventually and pay this money back, or so that's taxation, and it will increase, and or the government's going to continue to print money left and right, which is going to lead to big-time inflation.
Absolutely.
Which is also going to hurt cash flow. So these are things that we have to look at. Now, there's no easy answers for some people. Some people that we see haven't paid attention to savings, or they paid attention to savings, but in the 90s and in the first 10 years of the 2000s, you know, they had to have that third car just in case they wanted to do something special, or they had to have a bigger house because the smaller house wasn't impressive enough. All right, well, you pay for that. And now they don't have the money necessarily to look downstream for the future of increase in taxation or increase in inflation. And some of these people you can't help.
Right. Absolutely. You're listening to Educated Investor. David C. Sean is with us each week. They're with the Householder Group. Their number is 720-482-1917. And look, we said early on, there's a free consultation. You can sit down with David, kind of go through some of these things that he's talking about. If you already have a plan, he can do that second opinion thing with you and kind of give you some thoughts there. But if you don't have a lot of these areas covered, and we're going to kind of just tap in on a few of these things that are all included in a complete retirement plan, well, David can help you. So I hope you'll give him a call. Again, free consultation, 720-482-1917. So, Dave, let's kind of talk about just kind of some of the subcategories that you would say when you're creating a plan. What are a couple of those highlights that you hit there?
Well, you know, some of the things that we're gonna look at, of course, is your feelings, your wishes, for example, because that's all part of this program. You know, living will. Now, living will, technical term, but it's your right to die. You know, when you're, what do you want done?
Mm-hmm.
With your right, does everybody know that? Is it in writing, or did the kids know? All right. Healthcare proxies. You get ill or sick, you're still alive. But who do you want doing what? Who do you want responsible for this or that? Do you have an organ donation card? I want to know that. All right. Because something happens, you want what's usable parts to be reused.
Right.
Do we have any arrangements for your funerals? Any special wishes or thoughts or processes you want to take care of? And if something were to happen, and if you happen to have minor children, a lot of our clients have more minor grandchildren than children, but you know, what do you want done, or how do you want these minor kids protected?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so wishes and thoughts, their feelings, it's very important. It's just not assets and liabilities per se. It's these kinds of other things. And then it's the idea of making sure that whoever is here knows the location of these important documents that you have. You know, what, even as simple things like it could be just birth certificates that you have, or marriage license, or military discharge papers. There's a lot of stuff that's out there that people have to address, but if they have to address it at a time where emotionally they can't handle the death or the stroke of some person or a car accident,
sure,
it becomes extremely difficult. So locations of safe deposit box, who can get into it? You know, many times if someone has a safe deposit box and they're keeping money in there or valuables or valuable papers, and you're the only one with the key or on the program, and the bank hears about it, they shut it down. You can't get at it. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of these little things that go into your wishes and your thoughts. It's just not assets. Assets are real easy.
Right.
You know, when people come in, we'll have a confidential form where they'll show me the value of their homes or retirement accounts or their pensions or other real estate that they might own or some business relationship that they have with another relative or somebody outside the family. In antiques, you know, those are assets. And then the liabilities, we still have to know all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the wishes are extremely important. Insurance policies, you know, who's the beneficiary? Who's the owner? All right. Are you sure they're the right beneficiaries, or did you change them because something happened and one of the beneficiaries is not even alive?
Right.
All right. You know, and then, you know, and if somebody's still working, you know, we want them to be able to show us what kind of benefits does your company provide for you. Let me see your statements. Let's look at them and see, well, if something happens, what happens if you stroke? Is your spouse continued to be covered medically?
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that people tend not to think about when they come in here if they haven't been pre-educated in what to bring. They don't understand that it's just not looking at your assets, and they figure in that we're going to just help them invest money.
Right.
That's the last thing we're looking at in financial and retirement planning. As an advisor, we're looking at all five areas of this, and we drill down into each of these five areas into the specifics. You know, you're covered under Social Security. Great. How much are you getting? Oh, I'm getting this much. Okay, are you sure what you're getting is correct? Does Social Security ever make a mistake? Sure. Do you know they haven't made one with your monies? No. Again, it's understanding that you have to protect your assets and your income so that you can survive any kind of pandemic, if you will, and know where these documents are in case you yourself are in a situation where you can't reach them. You can't just go. And maybe you can't even tell somebody because you've had that severe car accident or whatever.
Right.
And so we have to be, it has to be kind of like prepared so that someone just goes in and looks at these documents. Oh, this is where everything is located. This is who I got to call. This is what we should do, and in an orderly,
mm-hmm,
compassionate, yet intelligent manner.
So would you say overall, real quick, and then I want to talk about an event you've got coming up, but overall, would you say it's a good idea for, you know, your spouse and family members and all to almost have a relationship with you as well as financial advisor?
Yeah. We encourage people to bring their kids in or grandkids, whoever they have access to or around, to meet. So they have an understanding of what we are and what we're doing for the parents or whomever. And so they have a face.
Right.
Right. And they know that when something happens, they're not going to be in a hurry just to simply forget about everything else and say, well, how much money am I going to get? Where can I move that money to? Can I buy that car? So they have an understanding and a feeling.
Right, right. Once again, the number is 720-482-1917, and David would love to help you out. And, hey, here's a great event coming up Tuesday, September 14th at 6 p.m. at Eddie Merlot's. And David just had one of these on September 8th. And so, David, tell us a little bit about what people can expect at this dinner.
Yeah, the dinner is an educational event for folks. And we talk about the five areas of financial planning. We don't talk about products or anything like that.
Okay.
We talk about issues and concerns that people face pre- and post-retirement and how to solve some of these problems, how to address them. It's a fun evening in the sense that you get good education. We might throw in a joke or two just to make sure you're not sleeping.
Okay.
And then normally it takes the first hour, and once the hour is up, you're served a real nice dinner, and then we come around to the people there and ask if they have questions, if they'd like to have some answers, and people do, and then they can come in if they wish for a free consultation for an hour or so, and discuss how they can apply, or whether some of these items we're talking about can apply to their financial plan or their situation.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple.
Absolutely. Once again, this will be held at Eddie Merlot's, which is located at 10110 East Dry Creek Road in Englewood. And due to social distancing, seating is limited, so please RSVP and reserve your seat right now by calling 800-815-3081. That's 800-815-3081. Let them know you heard David here on the Educated Investor, and they will reserve you a seat. We've got a couple of seats left, so give them a call now. 800-815-3081. And again, this is Tuesday, September 14th, 6 p.m. at Eddie Merlot's. Well, David, as always, sir, great information. Our time is always too short, but thank you very much, and we'll look forward to our conversation next week.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great week.
All right. That is David Cishan, once again with the Householder Group, CishanFinancialServices.com.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Your Health Matters. I'm your host, Dan Muir, in for Scott Watley. And on the phone with me, I have the one and only Dr. Stedman. Doc, how you doing today?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but I started laughing because there's a screen in front of me. You know what it says? It says talent. I'm sitting here going, that can't be for me. I just thought it was funny. But hey, so I know we're going to talk about autoimmune today, but I've got to ask you a question because my wife and I are having this argument. So now, can you eat too much protein? And what I mean by that is I like big porterhouse steaks. And so when I go to tackle one of these babies, my wife is like, you know, you really don't need to eat the whole thing. You don't need to, and I want to eat the whole thing. So am I doing my body a lot of damage by eating the whole steak?
I guess it's maybe a little bit yes and no. I mean, So a lot of protein can be hard on your kidneys. And you sometimes see this in like the bodybuilding world, but they're usually like consuming tons and tons and tons of protein like every day.
Right.
You know, so there's some talks about too much protein being hard on their kidneys. And so you'll see some of these things. I mean, if you're eating a big old porterhouse steak in one sitting, I mean, that's probably not going to do much more than, you know, just maybe throw your body off for a second, you know, because you got to process all that protein and, you know, maybe you'll be a little bloated or maybe have some like, you know, smelly gas or something like that. But in the long term, it's not going to be causing a lot of issues.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. Now, let me ask you this, though. Do you need to offset protein with greens, you know, like lettuce and green beans and things like that?
Yes. So when you're looking at protein, you know, versus greens, proteins can make your body more acidic. And then all foods that you eat can make you a little bit more acidic or a little bit more alkaline. And proteins tend to make you a little bit more acidic. So to balance that off with veggies is really good. Now they talk about, and this, I kind of like this thought, is that you should have a good like 4-to-1 ratio of veggies to protein. Now, if you're having a huge porterhouse steak and you're to do that every single day, you can see how you would have to consume a lot of vegetables to counteract that acidity, you know? And so that's kind of where you go, okay, a big porterhouse once here and there is not a big deal for you. If you had one every single day, then you should be drinking like green smoothies all day long to counteract the effects.
Really? Okay. You know what? You're backing her argument up quite well here, because I am not a veggie eater. You know, I mean, if you put it in front of me, I'll eat it, but I will not go out of my way to find it. So that's so you're convicting me here, Doc. I gotta watch this more then, because I'm definitely a protein eater. I like to eat, you know, meat and stuff like that. And I've gotten away from, you know, eating meat with bread. You know, so I'm getting rid of buns and things like that. And I don't put really anything on it. I just like the meat. And so, but oh my gosh. So am I better off? I know we gotta get into autoimmune, but am I better off with like a lettuce wrap then, something that has the vegetable or the lettuce with the meat?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, that would be better than a bun, you know, because at least there's some veggies in there, you know, and then if you did, you know, a hamburger with, you know, guacamole and green chili wrapped in a lettuce wrap, I mean, that's definitely better than just a straight up, you know, hamburger patty, for instance. But, you know, anytime you can get like a salad in with your steak, you know, that'd be great, and some Brussels sprouts. I mean, I'm starting to make myself hungry.
What is lunchtime?
Yeah, I'll just go off on a tangent.
Right? We always tend to do this whenever you and I get on together. First thing I always bring up is food. So it's like I get us both hungry. It's like, yeah, ready for lunch. So,
yeah, usually you bring up food and french fries.
I do.
Usually the next one.
I do, and I'm really trying to avoid the fries. But I was trying to make the argument yesterday with my wife that, you know, hey, a potato is a vegetable, even if it's deep fried or not. I mean, hey, that was my logic. I'm telling you. She wasn't buying it.
No, living in Texas, that was definitely the consensus, is that you had a steak with, you know, potatoes and corn. And I'm like, well, potatoes are not really a vegetable and corn is a grain. So I'm not too sure where the green part came in, which it just doesn't. But that's kind of the thought process in Texas a lot with the kind of the older folk.
So now let's turn this around to the subject at hand. Autoimmune is something that a lot of people don't understand. I've done enough of these shows where I'm starting to understand what it is. But in effect, I believe what it is, it's your immune system attacking your good cells, attacking your body. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good way of starting it off. I would actually add, too, that it's really kind of the idea that your immune system has lost the identification between, like, friend
That's
and it. Foe.
That's right.
You know, yeah. So once your immune system, like, thinks that you're not friendly, then it can go after you. But and usually it's after a certain tissue, you know. So we can take, like, celiac disease, I think, is probably the easiest one to comprehend, is that if your body doesn't like wheat, well, then every time you eat wheat, it attacks your digestive tract. That's why you see people with celiac disease, they have a lot of digestive pain and inflammation in their gut, because their immune system is attacking wheat, and as a result, it ends up attacking your stomach. And this can be true for just about any of your autoimmune conditions, but yeah, all of a sudden you don't like yourself very much, so you're going to go after it.
Yeah, that's I find it actually quite scary, because there's a lot of times, unless it's something, like you said, like celiac, where you know, oh God, if I eat this pasta, I'm in for it. But a lot of times you may not know what you are doing to cause this to happen. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's really kind of, I would say, the hard part of helping patients is what is the cause. You know, sometimes it's super duper easy, like celiac, and those are great. You know, and most people that have celiac disease, they're just like, oh, as long as I don't have wheat, I feel fine. You're like, well, no, that's it. But, you know, if you have lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or MS, you know, those things like that, like, is it a food? Is it mold? Is it a bacteria? Is it a parasite? Is it a chemical? Is it a toxin? Like, it's not as cut and dry, and that's what makes working with patients difficult at times.
So how do you, boy, I didn't realize that, because you threw MS in there as part of autoimmune, and there's a lot of people that suffer from MS, and could it simply be their environment? Because you're saying, is it a chemical? Is it, you know, is it something in the air? Is it mold? Could it be their environment, as well as maybe their diet or something that they're doing? But how do you determine that?
Yeah. Welcome. Yeah, welcome to
your world.
Yeah, my world. You know, and I think that's what, you know, we can take MS too, you know, but with all autoimmune conditions, that really becomes sometimes the starting point, where, you know, somebody comes in and say, I have this autoimmune condition, and what are we going to do? And we can go through and we can test, you know, so you can test everything. And sometimes that's amazing, and sometimes nothing really comes of it. So then you start kind of helping people by deductive reasoning. You know, sometimes the history actually becomes a really an important feature. You know, so somebody's like, you know, I grew up in, was it kind of like the Rocky Flats area? I mean, I've seen some patients that grew up in that area once upon a time, where they had all the chemicals, you know, and things like that. And there's a lot of weird autoimmune conditions that came of that. And you go, okay, that makes sense. That was your environment that created this autoimmune condition. You know, or if somebody, you know, sometimes you'll hear from some of the old, like, vets, you know, that were exposed to Agent Orange, or, you know, some of these weird things. Those things are making, those are things that we can make sense of. But I agree that it's hard with the people that say, well, I have MS, and I go, okay, well, what's in your world? I don't know. I live in this house, and the house doesn't have mold, and I think I eat healthy, and you're really trying to figure out, okay, what the heck started it? And sometimes I think what makes it even harder, and this is why this is such a big topic and a good one to talk on, is that, I mean, you could have something that just made your immune system mad 20 years ago, or you can have something that's making your immune system mad currently. You know, and if it made it mad a long time ago, then you're already said and done. Now you're just left with the aftermath. So, yeah, it's a big game of Sherlock Holmes, for sure.
So if you're in a situation where you're saying, you know, now you're left with the aftermath, what things can you do to help, you know, kind of restore the person? Because, you know, you don't want to be, at least I don't want to be that person that's, you know, in a wheelchair or a walker maybe, or on just a fistful of medication every day. Are there things that you can do to, once you've identified it, even though there may be some damage, can you reverse that damage, or things that you can do to reverse the conditions?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some, you know, I'm going to rephrase the before I answer the question, but I think because a lot of people think reverse, that's a strong word. And I think the goal with autoimmune diseases is you try to manage. And you kind of hear the terms like relapsing versus remitting, you know, so you really kind of hope to get those things into like dormancy, you know, so to speak. It's kind of like celiac disease. You know, if you don't eat wheat, then you feel great, you know, and if you eat wheat, then you feel crummy. So you know, celiac, I think, is a great example. And I'm going to circle back around and answer your question. But okay. Celiac is kind of a great question, a great example of this. It's like, can you reverse celiac disease? Well, yeah, if you don't eat wheat ever for the rest of your life, there's a really good chance that you won't have a celiac flare-up, you know, but it's definitely not cured, so then we therefore say it's managed. So can we actually manage autoimmune? You can. You know, you just got to find what the trigger was, and or we can find things to balance it out. So there are some really cool things that we can do to look at balancing the immune system or getting you back into, like, a remission phase, you know, and this is where I would say a mix of, you know, a good diet comes into play, you know, into supplementation, certain IVs, and even at times like medications can be super helpful, you know, but obviously a lot of people that come into our office are like, I really don't want to take a fistful of medication. So what can we do? And that a lot of times we have to say, well, let's start with diet, because that's the one thing that we can control is what goes into your mouth, right? So let's start with diet. You know, and so we look at diet, and then we can start running other tests or do a really good history to say, you know, do we do things to look for, like, mold in your house? Was that a possibility? And so a lot of times we'll say, let's start with diet. Let's start with some immune-supporting or immune-modulating things. You know, like fish oil is probably a really common one, is we can use fish oil. We can use vitamin D. We can use some of these things that are more immune-modulating. Say, okay, can we get rid of whatever the insult is, and can we calm down your immune system with some supplements? And that kind of becomes a place to start, and then we just have to go from there.
Well, that sounds very hopeful, and it does make sense. You know, after doing these shows with you throughout the years, it's like, boy, and I'm a lot better than I used to be. But if you ask my wife, I'm got a long ways to go. But diet and sleep and exercise, they all sound so basic, but they are just critically important, aren't they, Doc?
Oh, they're so incredibly important. I mean, even if you know, just looking at the landscape of where we're at these days, you know, with COVID and everything going on too, it's like, you know, really when you kind of keep hearing the experts talk about how to take care of yourself, it does. It comes down to eating properly, reducing your stress, getting a good amount of sleep, and exercising. You know, it goes a long ways.
It does. And then when you talk about diet, one of the things I've also learned is that one size doesn't necessarily fit all. So there may be something that affects one person, but it doesn't affect another person. And even let's just say my wife and I, let's say that she can sit down and she can eat ice cream and it doesn't affect her. I sit down and eat ice cream and I'm next thing you know, I'm the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, I'm just Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I'm just, you know, all swollen and inflamed and all that kind of stuff. So are those some of the things that you help people determine what's affecting them and what's putting them in the condition they're in?
Absolutely. Because if you just take that, that's a great example and it's a really common one. So I think to answer your first question, yeah, there is no one size fits all. You know, I think a lot of times in the office we'll do what's called an autoimmune paleo diet. You know, so we'll kind of engage in that, which is a pretty restrictive diet, but we do that for a short period of time because we're trying to identify the foods that might be flaring up your autoimmune condition or flaring up your immune system in general. And dairy is probably a really common one. So yeah, so if you take dairy out of somebody's diet, you know, and take ice cream and things like that, and all of a sudden, you know, they're like, man, I just lost 20 pounds. Well, that probably tells you there's some kind of inflammatory response that was taking place, that your body just did not like dairy for whatever reason. You know, and then sometimes those clues that you get from people where they go, oh, yeah, every time I eat dairy, I get bloated. I was like, well, so basically you're saying every time I eat dairy, I get some inflammation. You know, so if somebody had an autoimmune condition, you definitely don't want the inflammation there. So you kind of say, so then we kind of modify this autoimmune paleo diet to fit the person and say, okay, for you, we're going to do this diet with these modifications. And then we attempt to slowly add foods back in to see what else might be a factor. Because there might be things that you don't realize that you're eating that could be a factor, like tomatoes. You know, so for some people, tomatoes are definitely inflammatory food, but you just don't realize it because most people wouldn't think tomatoes. You know, we all know about sugar and
right.
and junk food and wheat, but we don't think about tomatoes and bell peppers and white potatoes and spices, you know. So that's where we have to, like, figure this out and then educate the person to say, okay, now that we're done, you can go out, eat everything but these three or four foods. You know, let's keep your inflammation down while we continue to work on your autoimmunity. So you're right. No one diet fits all.
Boy. Yeah, and that makes it difficult, but it also it's really important because you really need to narrow down what it is that could be adversely affecting you, because once again, nobody wants to be that person with the fistful of pills and having to take this, that, and the other thing all the time. I just do not want to end up that way. And you're listening to Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. And Doc, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the number they can reach you at?
The best number is 303-781-5617. Or they can go to our website, integratedhealthdenver.com. Those are the best ways to do it. We do free consultations. So I think it's always a great way for people to meet us and say, hey, is this a good fit? And what would you do for me? And it's a good time because everybody's cases are so different that it's just hard to, like, jump in and say, okay, we're going to help you. But it's always good to do a consult, to meet each other, go over your symptoms, and then say, where do we want to start? Do we want to do a blood test? Do we want to look for mold? Do we want to just dive right in, you know, so we kind of get an idea of where we're going to get started with during those consultations.
So, you know, Doc, you brought up several times mold when it comes to autoimmune. How does one...
I didn't mean to.
You've twice now, two or three times.
I know.
So, but how do you find, or how do you know if... It's okay, diet's one thing, you know, stop putting it in your mouth, see what happens. How do you find the mold if that could possibly be the issue?
Yeah, you know, definitely, you know, if you're in a place like, you know, Florida, the Carolinas, you know, places like that, I mean, most of the docs I've talked to, they just say it's just the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
Colorado's a little bit different, you know, because we're in a very, very dry climate. But it's funny because I don't know why I keep popping it. It was one of my examples, but it's, I guess, stuck in my head. But, you know, with basements, you know, you kind of hear a lot of, like, flooded basements or water damage or leaks. And in a lot of times people know, it's really fascinating. Sometimes you talk to patients, they're like, oh, yeah, my basement's been flooded and there's mold growing on down there. But, you know, they never thought that could actually impact their health. There's actually some tests that you can order. It's called, like, an ERMI test, where you can order them online. They're like little Petri dishes, and you can put those and set those in, like, the bathroom, the laundry room, the basement, you know, and then see if there's mold that grows on those that are kind of floating in the air, you know. Or there's actually some inspectors that will come out and, you know, and identify and have scopes and things like that to look for mold. So there's a couple ways of doing it, because it's something that actually is common enough. You know, definitely in Colorado, we're a little bit less common, but with everybody having basements, it kind of brings that commonality up, or that common, you know, level up a little bit, to say there's a lot of people we know that have had flooded basements.
Yes.
And water damage and leaks and sump pumps that stopped working and all those crazy things.
Yeah, even though we're in a dry climate, we do get flooding here in basements and crawl spaces and things like that can get flooded. And then that mold can get trapped down there, but the mold spores, don't they kind of spread around? Don't they get into the airflow and kind of spread all over the house?
Yeah, that's what kind of gets scary. Is those spores can, you know, sometimes they're nicely contained in a basement, and, you know, sometimes they might be in a ventilated area or maybe next to an intake or something like that, and that's where they start spreading. So it gets a little bit gnarly, and people don't realize that. You know, sometimes you can have, you know, a master bathroom that's got some mold in it, and that's where you sleep every night, you know, is in that bedroom. So, yeah, these are all these little pieces with autoimmune. You're like, okay, let's tease this out a little bit. What's your environment? You know, what have you done? Where have you been? You know, even work. I think people don't even realize that, you know, sometimes work can be an environmental source of an autoimmune condition. But, again, that's not Sherlock Holmes piece. I mean, that's what we always say all the time. It's like, man, we've got to put on the Sherlock Holmes hat and bust out my pipe and let's figure this out, because this is not going to be easy.
No, no, it's not. And you're listening to Your Health Matters, and that voice is Dr. Shane Stedman with Integrated Health Systems. And, Doc, we're talking about autoimmune disorders, autoimmune disease. And now, how do or how can infections and viruses trigger autoimmune disease?
So, yeah, that's a great question, especially with the, you know, kind of the concept of COVID right now. The definition of long hauler, you know, it's interesting because it's something that everybody's now talking about, but this is something that people have talked about for years because most viruses, you know, that are out there can potentially lead to these long-term effects. And basically, a long hauler could be an autoimmune condition that popped up. And so what happens is that if you think about, to make it really simplistic for people who are driving or listening, is that, you know, you think about your immune system being on a teeter-totter. And so when one side goes up, the other side can go down. And so this teeter-totter is kind of what keeps you kind of healthy throughout the day because you come in contact with stuff all the time, you know, whether it be a dirty phone or an elevator or you ate something bad or there's something in the air or pollen, dander, you name it. So your immune system's constantly kind of like saying, okay, I got your back. You go to work, you enjoy life, and I got you. And so you kind of see this teeter-totter going back and forth and back and forth and fighting different things. But when you get a virus, sometimes it takes that teeter-totter and just slams it into like one direction, and it just doesn't come back down. And so what happens then is that immune system then is in kind of like overdrive. And once it gets into overdrive, that's when you start seeing some of these autoimmune conditions taking place because it's kind of losing some of that sensitivity where it's like, well, I don't like you, so I don't like you either. And in your immune system can almost profile, which is kind of crazy to think, but it's almost like, you know, I don't like people that have blonde hair and glasses. So therefore, you know, this person did me wrong, so I don't like anybody with glasses and blonde hair. And your immune system can kind of do that a little bit by what they call mimicry. And so it goes, I don't like you, and you look like that virus, so I'm going to attack the thyroid. You know, I don't like you, you look like that virus, I'm going to attack your pancreas and cause diabetes. And this is kind of what you see with the quote-unquote long hauler syndrome, is that your immune system got really, really engaged in trying to kill something, and as a result, it started kind of profiling some other tissues in your body, and now you end up attacking something that you used to not attack.
So can that ever stop? So will your body go back to recognizing that as a good tissue and stop attacking it? Because when I had COVID, I did have a persistent cough for quite a while. It's gone now, but it did. It just hung on forever. I didn't think I would ever get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the immune system gets kind of over. In your case, yeah, it can get overzealous and maybe take a while to calm back down, you know, and then go back into neutral. And there's other times that actually your immune system does go back into like a normal teeter-totter phenomenon, but you have this great memory system. And that's where sometimes the autoimmune stuff might come into play, is where your immune system has now said, well, I don't like your thyroid. Well, you never get rid of your thyroid, so there's always this little piece of a memory system that says, well, I don't like you. You know, it's almost like, you know, I have a high school daughter, so, you know, so sometimes we laugh and we make fun of her, but it's almost like, you know, in high school when they're like, I don't like that person, you know, and then like 6 years later, you know, they're like, I don't like that person. Well, what do they do? I don't know, but in eighth grade, they really made me mad, and I just will never like them again. And that's kind of like how these autoimmunes are. It's like, I don't know why I'm mad. I'm just mad. I don't like that person. I never like that person. And that could be your autoimmunity. So everything is back to normal and nobody's mad at anybody. But for some reason, you're just going to always be upset.
Just holding a grudge against that one person or that one cell or whatever it is. And you have no idea why.
So an autoimmune condition is your body's holding a grudge against you for something else that took place. That's my official definition.
Yeah. See, mine's mad that I just don't eat broccoli. It's like, I want more broccoli. I'm going to attack everything else. So, Doc, as we're talking about the autoimmune can be really serious. I mean, you bring up things like Hashimoto's disease. That to me always sounded like, you know, something that, you know, that a person that, you know, what do they call those people that are like allergic to everything, or you mention a illness and they have it, hypochondriac. That always sounded like a made up hypochondriac type ailment, but it's a real thing, isn't it?
It is a real thing. It's actually really common too. That one, Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid autoimmune condition, is about 24 million people. That's a big one out there. It's a really common one. It's a funny name, and everybody always thinks that it has something to do with, you know, Japanese or whatnot. But I'm like, nope.
That's what I thought too.
Usually, medicine. Usually, yeah. It's usually in neurology and a lot of medicine, whoever found it first, that's who gets to put their name on it.
Ah, got it. Okay. So, but it's a real thing. You said 25 million people have that. And what are some of the common symptoms for that?
Oftentimes the most common symptom of Hashimoto's is all your hypothyroid symptoms. So hair thinning, hair falling out, dry skin, brittle nails, ridges in your nails, your eyebrows are thinning, you can't lose weight, metabolism's slow, you're constipated, brain fog, which is a lot of people.
You just described me. I have no hair. I don't want to get into the constipation part, but the rest of it, your nails falling apart. So what do you do, Doc? Now I'm a hypochondriac. So now what are you going to do with me, Doc? How do I reverse Hashimoto's?
Now we got to get you to eat some veggies, and we got to figure out how to reduce your inflammation. We got to get your immune system back, to whatever that neutral teeter-totter might look like, and then see if there's anything else that could be making your immune system hold a grudge.
Okay, yeah. So I got to probably lay off the peanut M&Ms too. That would probably help.
I think that definitely doesn't do well for your immune system. I don't remember in school there being some kind of like M&M deficiency that really helps your immune system.
No, there's not. There's not. But we could go. There's a lot of stuff out there that's tastes great, that's readily available, that we really need to stay away from. I always tell people that I need to find that. You know how there's AA for alcoholics? I need to find Drive Through Anonymous, because I love drive through windows because they just hand you food. You pull up, they hand you food. I think it's just one of the greatest inventions ever. And somebody like me really needs to find a support group or something and stay away from those places.
there you have it. See, your problem solved.
See,
where do you have a treatment plan going for you? Eat veggies, stay away from drive-thrus.
So have you ever noticed, though, there's really no drive-through garden or vegetable, vegetable store? They just don't hand you out heads of lettuce through the window.
No. But I'm sure there's a couple out there, where I'm just waiting for the day when like a Mad Greens or somebody like that actually does like a drive through. That'd be kind of cool.
But Mad Greens is actually really good. I don't know if you've been there, but I think they're good. All right, Doc. So how do people get a hold of you? And if they want to try getting some of this stuff figured out and solved.
Yeah. Definitely you can call the office for a free consult at, 303-781-5617. So 303-781-5617. We also have, we also do Facebook. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those places. So you can look for Integrated Health Systems or Integrated Health Denver, and join it. Cause we're doing things like live Q&A panels, where you can actually come on and ask these questions. We did one just a couple weeks ago. It was great. We had 80 people sign up for it, and we just allow people to ask questions and we answer them live. If you're interested in that, then go to our Facebook page and you can actually sign up for the next one at the end of this month.
Wonderful, Doc. Great show, great information. It's been a pleasure, and you take care. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Dan. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Okay, you've been listening to Your Health Matters, Integrated Health Systems, and again, 303-781-5617. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.